Let me just say this. It's been several weeks since I've been up here. I am so pumped about opening up with teaching. I mean, just personally. So I've been preaching and teaching for 10 years, right? I've been leading this church for 10 years. And before that, I was doing it when I was at the Big Vineyard. So, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, but there's something about just reorienting the service. It's not just a structural shift, but there's something to it in my spirit. I'm like really excited. And here's why I'm excited. I think there's, hopefully, you don't have any question about this. We really value worship. We really value experience. We really value the moving of the Holy Spirit. But what I believe we haven't valued enough is the Word of God. I believe we haven't valued enough the teaching of the Scripture. I believe what you'll find is there tends to be a dichotomy between churches, which shouldn't be there. It's not God's heart. You have churches that are Bible-based, but tend to be dry and don't really move in the things of the Spirit. Or you have churches that really move in the things of the Spirit, but they tend to not really teach the Scripture a whole lot. I mean, I'm making huge generalities, so don't be offended. But that tends to be the way it is. What I would love to see the Village Vineyard be is a place where we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We are being taught and trained what the Scriptures say, that we are a people who are living and abiding and obeying and flowing in what the Word of God has to say, and full of the Holy Spirit, flowing and organic in the sense of we want to move where God's moving, but it's always in line with the Word of God. So we'd be a people who worship God in spirit and worship God in truth. I'm telling you, there's a dividing line that often we fall on. Don't let yourself fall on either side of it. Go for both. Listen, most of us in this room can be divided in two categories. Now, this is overly simplified, but this tends to be true. Half of us, not, I don't even want to give percentages because I don't know what the percentage is, but there's two different groups. One group, very comfortable with experience and loves just, you know, come Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff. Just, yeah, more, right? There's that group. And they tend to like really not like Bible study and really leaning into the Scripture. And again, I'm being overly simplistic, but that tends to be characteristic. There's another group that tends to be like line by line, precept upon precept. I want it logical, reasonable. Just give me what the Bible says. But tends to be really uncomfortable with, you know, come Holy Spirit, rah! You know, I mean, just much more experience, and yes, we love you, Lord! You know, I mean, all that kind of stuff. There tends to be a tension between these two. And I'm saying that God has called us to walk in both. We just are. And so if you tend to lean on this side, yeah, you know, man, step in to the blessing that's found in the Word of God and being taught and trained, precept upon precept, line upon line, knowing what the Word of God is, living in the Word of God, obeying the Word of God. Step into that, lean into that, get uncomfortable. Or if you tend to be this, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you get uncomfortable with this, just get over yourself and just get comfortable with what the Holy Spirit has done through the centuries. Not in the vineyard. Through the centuries, God has moved in ways that are just lack what I would say is common decency. There's just weirdness to it. There's, wow, why would people respond to the Holy Spirit? I mean, people, the Great Awakenings, you know, first and second Great Awakening, people hated it because of how people were responding and getting moved by the Spirit. And they thought it was just so uncouth and just not appropriate for decent humans to get hit by God in that kind of way. God would never do that. Anyways, I'm kind of tangenting a little bit. So what I'm excited about is in the Village Vineyard, being a people who really esteem and value and honor the Word of God, where we elevate it and we say the Word of God is you know, in the Psalms it says that that God honors above all things His name and His Word. We would honor the Word of God. A tension that's going to be relieved as a result of having teaching on the front end is this. Worship is going, it's just like, yeah, you're just feeling it, you know, just rocking out, and people are into it, and Spirit's flowing, and people are getting touched, and then it's like, you just can't help but feel like you're shifting gears, or like, you know, it's like, okay, now I'm going to get up and teach. There's just something, it's tough to do, and it may not feel that way to you, but it does to me, because I'm the one who often has to get up and do the transition, okay? But what I'm excited about is I think, as I look through the Scripture, what did Jesus do? He taught, and then He demonstrated. He taught, and then he'd demonstrate it. I mean, there's this idea of teaching the word and the word being confirmed through signs and wonders. I'm believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that people are going to get touched today. People are going to get healed today. People may get saved. There's some of you who don't know Jesus. Some of you are going to get saved. Some people might get radically delivered. I'm believing that God is moving in an increased measure in this place. There's more of God moving. But I'm telling you, what I'm not willing to do is move way over into a place where all we're having is these great experiences, but we as a people aren't being grounded and rooted in the Word of God. We're getting weird. We don't have the basics down. We're like, we got all kinds of like Holy Spirit activity, but we don't know how to forgive our brother. We don't know how to serve our boss. We don't know how to have a good spirit when someone offends us. I mean, that kind of basic stuff. I want to walk in the character of Christ and move and flow in the power of Christ. Amen. There doesn't need to be a division. We can flow and move in both. So that's what we are going to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, in my notes, it's the pastoral introduction to why we are going to be doing Teach from the Front. That's kind of funny. I'm just reading my notes. So a couple quick things. Acts 2:42 says that they gave themselves, the early church, gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There's something, if you look through the New Testament over and over and over and over again, there's the emphasis on teaching, of just simply embracing the teachings of God. There's something Paul is continually referring to. I mean, that's what Paul did. What did Jesus do? Read through the Gospels, and he pretty much did three things. Can you guess what they are? He taught, he healed, and he delivered. I say, let's do the same thing. Let's be a people who take seriously the teaching. And let's not be a people, I don't care how old you are in Christ, 30, 40, 50 years old in Christ. Paul said, it's no trouble for me to remind you the things that I've already told you. There is something about us, if you've heard the gospel, whatever, you know, if you want to boil it down, which you really can't boil the gospel down. But if you think, I've already heard this, man, I just want to call you to repent. If Paul didn't have a problem repeating himself, and he thought it worthy to continue to go over the same things over and over again, there's something about us needing to be reminded over and over again about the treasures and truths and the great things that God has for us. And so I just want to say there's something about teachings. You may have been taught till you're, you know, blue in the face. You've been taught so much. I just want to say you haven't been taught enough. I guarantee it. Because we are to be people who are sitting under, hearing, receiving good, anointed, powerful, biblical teaching week in and week out. I just want to tell you, I think it should be normative that we're seeking outside of a Sunday gathering to get good, great, anointed teaching. We've got great teachers that we like. We listen to somebody and say, man, I just listened to Billy Bob, and he's, man, this dude knows. Hey, he's got a revelation on the cross. Do you know different people have different revelations on things? Bill Johnson, he's got a revelation on healing. I gave it to Shelley, and she's like blew up with this, you know, Bill Johnson talking about healing. She loved different people have different revelations. You know, some people have an incredible understanding of grace. Some people have an incredible understanding of faith. Some people have incredible, man, let's be a people who are digging in, seeking to be fed and taught, and then taking that and working on it and seeking to make it our own. Amen. Last thing on that, why is teaching so significant? The Bible obviously says it is. Read through the New Testament, you could arguably say it's emphasized more than any other thing that we should do. Arguably, it's always talking about teaching, 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 teaching. That's why there's churches that don't worship. There are literally churches that don't worship. And they don't worship because they look at the New Testament and they see very few examples of worship. But they see all kinds of emphasis on teaching. Now, I'm not advocating that. I think that is, bless those churches. Seriously, bless them. They're doing good things for God. Praise God. But my point is, there's such an emphasis on teaching in the Word of God that we would do well to be a people who say, man, I want to be taught the Word of God. Why is being taught so significant? Teaching breaks strongholds. Teaching breaks false understandings and paradigms and philosophies and perceptions of things. So many of you in here have trouble receiving the kindness and mercy of God. Why? Because of your experience, potentially because of some teaching you received, and because of just the surroundings you're in. You have trouble believing that there's actually mercy and forgiveness. Many of us in this room struggle with feeling condemned on a regular basis, and we've been Christians for 10, 15 years. Why? Because there is a stronghold. What does a stronghold do? It sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It actually takes the truths and power of God and nullifies it. You don't think you can nullify the power of God? I promise you, you can. And there's people all over the planet right now who are nullifying the power of God in their lives because of false perceptions and paradigms and strongholds. Good teaching can unpack something in your heart where you used to believe something because you were taught it, because you experienced something. So you believe that God really does kind of not like you. And then you begin having good biblical teaching about the love of God that absolutely can't be changed regardless of what you do. I mean, you get good teaching, not just a statement like I just made. That won't do hardly anything. But good teaching that's rooted in the anointed living word that's coming forth from an anointed preacher who's full of God's Spirit, it actually breaks strongholds. Does this make sense? That's why it's so imperative to not just have somebody teaching who... Anyway, I'm not going to make that point. So breaking strongholds. I mean, some of us in this room literally struggle, are struggling as it relates to what's been talked about recently, which is the Holy Spirit, having a spiritual language. I would say this, most of the struggle comes out of previous paradigms we've had due to teaching, and I would argue and say probably teaching that hasn't been actually rooted in the Word of God. But it's so strong in us because we grew up in it. That we actually, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you nullify the word of God by your traditions. That we can nullify the word of God by our own traditions. The things that we hold dear and that, you know, this person that we really love believes. And so we've kind of heard that. I'm saying, look at the word of God. And what does the word of God say? Whether it's about a spiritual language or the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or forgiving your enemies or loving your neighbor or whatever it is. And let's just take what the word of God says. And let's just do it despite what we've been told, despite how we may feel. There we go. Enough of that. Okay. So that was just a little side note on why teaching is good. Let me do this. I want to jump into 1 Corinthians 14, but before I go there, I want to say this. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about being a people who are filled. And Andy, thank you so much for your phone call, by the way. Andy called me. He's like, man, my home group is, there's just something happening. It's just, there's, I don't know if you use the word revival, but you know, you're just fire. I listened to it because I couldn't get reception. I was at a cabin. My wife and kids are still out there. I was at a cabin retreat this week and I couldn't get reception. So I had this message from Andy. I've been waiting to hear. And on my way back, I was listening to it. And he was all fired up. I'm like, yeah, it's sweet. And there's something, I just completely lost my point. As a church, we've been talking about just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about being a people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, go back, not last week, the week before. If you don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go to the website, villagevineyard.org. Listen to the teaching. It's the best teaching I've ever heard. A biblical, grounded in the Word of God. What the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and what it isn't and why we should long for it. And not only long for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but long for a continued infilling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need more of God. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need a greater filling in order to do just the basic things that I've been called to do and do the things that I'm even called to do that I don't even know I'm called to do. I need more of God. I am desperate for the Holy Spirit. I want us to be a church who is desperate for more of God. Who's not just bored and twiddling our thumbs and going through life and waking up and making the coffee and going to work and coming back and flipping on the TV and going to bed and waking up, making the coffee. I mean, no. We're going to be a people alive, full of the presence and power of God. But how does that happen? Well, we've got to get desperate. We've got to first see that there's a need. There's a need for more of the Holy Spirit. And then we got to lean in for it. So let me say this as it relates to specifically a spiritual language. We're not landing here. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is we're not going to be the Village Vineyard who speaks in tongues. Like, what I mean is we're touching on this because the Scripture actually devotes an entire chapter to it. I don't know if you know that. 1 Corinthians 14, it devotes an entire chapter to prophecy in tongues. In all of the New Testament, there is not another gift, spiritual gift, as an entire chapter devoted to it. Do you know that? And that's interesting. I think that's worthy of note. An entire chapter is devoted to speaking in tongues, this very controversial, which it isn't controversial to people really outside of the church. They think it's weird until they get hit by God, and then all of a sudden they think it differently. It's controversial to people who are inside the church who have been taught what I would say is actually not Scripture. They've actually gone against 1 Corinthians 14, the end of the chapter that says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. They've actually done the opposite, and they've forbade it. They've been anti-Holy Spirit as it relates to the gifts. And so it's set up strongholds in our minds, and so we struggle with even hearing basic biblical teaching. With all that said, if you caught everything I just said, we're not landing here. So if you are uncomfortable, I just want to say it's okay. If you don't actually agree that having a spiritual language is something that everybody can have, that's okay. We're going to be a church that has a lot of diverse opinions and beliefs on the minors. What I mean by that is there are majors and there are minors. The problem we get into, now listen, is that we major on minors and we minor on majors. A major would be forgiveness. A major would be having integrity in the workplace. A major would be Jesus is the Son of God. A major would be there's atonement in the cross alone, that there's forgiveness in Christ alone. These are majors, right? A major is there is an eternal kingdom of which is coming and has not yet come and is going to come in its fullness, and we would do well to prepare ourselves for it. These are all majors that we tend to not major on. Minors are speaking in tongues. Doesn't mean it's not important, it just means it's a minor. Minor is, and again, there's going to be diversity in these areas, right? A minor is what we believe about war and our role in war. I think there's a diversity of opinions in the body of Christ, and I think there's freedom to have a diversity of opinions on that. You know why? Because the Scripture isn't cut and dry. It's not black and white as it relates to, I'm NRA and I'm a card-carrying member, and I got a concealed weapon here. You know, that's fine. I believe that as a Christian, you should never even touch a gun, let alone think about shooting somebody with one. That's fine. If that isn't okay with you, I'm going to tell you, you have an issue. If you're not okay with people having different opinions on minors, see if you can track with a statement. If you have a problem with people thinking differently than you do on minor issues, then you have a major issue. And one of the major issues, you have something off. There needs to be, the thing I love about John Wimber, started the Vineyard Movement, the thing I love about the Vineyard Movement is of the 1,000 or so churches that there are, I mean, you can't boilerplate them. You can't create a little box and put them all within this box. You've got some that are, in terms of politically, way left. You've got some politically way right. We've got people in this room, praise God, that are way left and way right. I love it. To the day that we have all a bunch of lefts or all a bunch of rights, man, I'm trading in. I'm going somewhere else because I want a place where people can be different in the places where you need to have diversity and need to be free to have different thoughts and opinions. Is this making sense to anybody? I mean, we're to be a people that are diverse in the ways that we need to be diverse. And I'm not advocating that we're diverse in the ways that we shouldn't be diverse. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, man, and you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are welcome in this place for the next 10 years. But if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, and you don't believe that Jesus was both the Son of God, meaning he was both deity, God, and man, then we have issues. And I will go to bat on that. I will argue on that. What I won't argue about is, does everybody have a spiritual language? If you want to dialogue with me about it, I would love to dialogue with you about it. But in terms of actually getting into a debate, I think that is a pit the enemy has set. And every time we set into a place of arguing, we just take the bait. And that's not just on spiritual language, that's on so much stuff. So how do we handle teaching that challenges us? How do we handle teaching that we don't like? First of all, go to the Scripture. Secondly, ask yourself, is this a major worth going to bat on, or is this a minor? And ask yourself this, why does this particular teaching set me off so much? Someone should be able to come to me and say, I believe in creation, that God created the world, but I believe it's actually through aliens. And I believe actually, and there are actually physicists who are brilliant who actually espouse this. So anyways, I believe aliens actually populated this planet. I believe someone should come to me and really be adamant about that, say that, and I'm not personally offended by it. I totally disagree. I'll just tell them. I'm not going to like go off on them. But I say, hey, actually, the way I see it. And but if they say, I'm being really ridiculous right now just to make my point. But if them telling me their philosophy or their theology, if it sets me off, I'm just telling you right now something's wrong here. And let me take it outside of this whole realm and let me take it into where we live. Relationships. No one in a relationship can actually make you angry. No one can actually make you condemned. Do you know that? I love Martin Luther's quote. He says, the person didn't make you angry, they simply revealed that you are. Jesus is a great testimony to this. Judas, who betrayed him, who he knew would betray him, he allowed him to dine with him his last meal. When he came to him to betray him, he said, friend, do what you've come to do. He didn't have bitterness in his heart. When people were beating him and mocking him, what were the words out of his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, if you think that's just Jesus, no. Stephen, the martyr, same thing. Being stoned by men who at one point he loved and they loved him are now stoning him. What does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How was he able to do that? Because he had no anger and bitterness, unforgiveness. He wasn't bound up with all of this. And because he had released all of that, he had given that to Christ, he allowed the King of Kings to come and heal the places of wounding and pain and sin and anger and bitterness. Because he had that stuff dealt with, there was no place in his heart that people could get at. So, like, for instance, let me just tell you this, just being personal. In my marriage, my wife cannot make me angry. My wife cannot set me off. My wife makes me angry. Okay, so here's Joshua's reality. My wife makes me angry. My wife sets me off. Real reality, not Joshua's reality. My wife has no capacity to do that. I'm in control of my own soul. I'm in control of my own emotions. My wife can't make me feel condemned. My wife can't make me angry. She can't do any of that. She simply reveals that I am. All of this to say is I am growing in this. I want us to be a people who are growing and just being owners of being responsible, of taking responsibility for our own emotions, for our own feelings, for our own jacked upness, to just be frank about it. Just take responsibility. And so if anything comes forth from this pulpit, preaching-wise, or anywhere else for that matter, and it angers you, I just want to ask the first question. Is this a major? Is someone saying Jesus isn't the Son of God? Then that should anger you. The Word of God is not inspired. It's written by some dumb guy. That should anger you. When it's a minor and it's angering you, I'm just telling you right now, there's something else going on. And I would encourage you to just look into that. Father, what is going on in me? Why am I set off by this? Does that make sense? When you're at work and that employee, that coworker says this or says that and it sets you off, they may be really annoying. I mean, truly, right? I mean, we've got some annoying people in our workplace, right? Amen? But it doesn't mean they have to set you off. Your husband can't set you off. Your dad can't set you off. Your teacher, your boss, they just can't. All it reveals is you have unredeemed areas of your soul that you need to submit more fully to the Lord. So, amen to that. Hopefully all that makes sense. Now, I want to jump in and finish off with 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to start verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Father, I ask that you would allow your word to penetrate the heart. That you would allow your word to move in each mind. That each person in this place would hear your word afresh and anew. Lord, that you would break strongholds with your word. That you would break false understandings and false perceptions with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So if you know what's going on here, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. It's all about love. And so Paul is just waxing eloquent. He's just going off about love is the central thing. Above all other things, love. Just go after love. And so he's continuing that. I mean, in the verse 14, follow the way of love. So he's, again, understand context. He's speaking to everybody. He's not speaking just a few. He's speaking to everybody about love is central. And he goes on, continuing to speak to everybody. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The word for that is literally this, you could actually use the word to lust after. This intense internal craving and desire and longing for spiritual gifts. Paul is saying, I want you, Corinthian church, I want you, Village Vineyard, to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because they're the power of God to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish on the earth. We are to eagerly, you and I, not once, not just once we have one experience, we're to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, that we would grow in our spiritual gifts. Why? Because spiritual gifts are flipping awesome. If you've ever ministered to somebody in a spiritual gift, it's incredible. Whether it's just a simple sense that you had and you shared it, whether it's you prayed and somebody got healed. Many of you have prayed and seen people healed, and it's just, there's something about it. I've seen people get radically saved. We're going to have somebody share her testimony who got saved here because the power of God touched her body and it did something, and it just opened her up. When the power of the Spirit is flowing, it opens people up who otherwise wouldn't have any reason to be open. I've told you this story before, but a couple of years back, Nellie and I were at a hotel, and I just had this, kept having this sense about this guy at the counter, gave him a prophetic word. He was just, I mean, it was real simple. When I say prophetic word, it was just a sense in my heart for him. I don't want to like dial this way up. Let's dial it way down, right? The sense that I had was, actually, I can't totally remember the word. It had something to do with that God has something in store for you. It was really, really, I mean, you could like, if you wanted to be Mr. Cynical, which I want to warn you about that, you could just like, dude, you could have given that to anybody, which you kind of could have, but the thing is, it was the anointed word for that moment for that guy. Okay, so a guy who's been hardened to the gospel hears this prophetic word, says, whoa. I start talking to him. We have this really cool encounter. I end up leaving. I'm going upstairs. I feel like I'm supposed to go back downstairs and ask him if he wants to be born again. Go back downstairs, ask him. He says, yes, but not here. My boss is right over there. Can you meet me tomorrow morning? We met him the next morning at Panera. We pray for him to receive Christ, gets radically born again, weeping, filled with the Holy Spirit. He got born again through a prophetic word. His first 10 minutes of being saved, he says, I really sense something. I feel like God is telling me to go say something to that guy over there. We're like, okay. So my wife and I, walk with him. We don't just send him off, right? We walk with him over to this guy who's sitting, minding his own business, typing on his computer at Panera, goes up and says, and we coach him a little bit. This is how you say it, you know, you don't like blast them. You just say, hey, I just had this sense that maybe God, you know, you really, you know. So he goes up and says, hey, you know, it says, I really had this sense that God, and I don't remember actually what he said. What I do remember is the response of the man sitting, minding his own business. He was a pastor who was feeling worn out, burnout, drained. I mean, he started crying. This brand new believer gets a word from the Lord, goes and ministers to, I didn't ask him, but my sense was this pastor was from a denomination that didn't necessarily believe in this. And so it was God's kindness to this minister, to this man from this whoever, I can't even remember the guy's name, bless him, who got saved. I'm getting flustered. I kind of lost where I was going there. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because this guy out in California got radically saved. Because my wife and I were flowing in a gift at that moment. I'm going to tell you, and I could give you lots of stories of that. Every one of us in this room has the capacity, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, because the Spirit lives in you, to call out for spiritual gifts. It's not for the few and the proud. It's not for the young and kind of energetic. It's for anybody and everybody. And this is where I would argue that prophecy is for everybody. He is speaking to everybody in 1 Corinthians 14. And he goes on and says this, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And then he says, especially the gift of prophecy. And he goes on and says, why? Because prophecy edifies. It builds up. It allows people to hear what God is saying. It's this beautiful, beautiful gift. But he's calling everybody to desire it. He's not saying, now there are prophets who are called by God. There are evangelists who are called, and not everybody is an evangelist. Not everybody is a prophet. Not everybody is a teacher. But all are to share their faith. All are to prophesy. There's a difference between having an office and flowing in the gift. The office means you have a mandate from heaven to flow in this gift, and you will operate at a much higher level. Now, 20% of you in this room have the gift of evangelism, probably. That's, you know, I can't remember. They have that whole breaking down. Peter Wagner did this whole thing where he looked at that. But let's just say that's true. 20% of you in this room have the gift of evangelism. But 80% of you aren't, like, off the hook to ever share your faith with somebody, right? But there's a difference between Billy Graham and the other 20% of you in this room. Billy Graham, can I get an amen? He's an evangelist, right? An evangelist to the nth degree, who's leaned in, who has grown in his gift. He didn't just download from heaven, I am an evangelist. No, if you follow the trajectory of his life, he grew and he grew and he grew and he was faithful. You know how many men around him that started in the same time he did fell off? Pretty much all of them. And some gross immoral sin fell off, except for him. There's something to be said about leaning in and saying, God, you've given me this gift, and I'm going to go after it. So if it's the gift of evangelism, then go after it. But also lean into the prophetic. If you're a prophet, lean into evangelism. Are you getting my point? 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So he's just giving you clarity. He's bringing correction to the Corinthian church because they were going off the hook as it relates to speaking in tongues, which is understandable. It's this new crazy religion called Christianity, right? It's a crazy new religion, you know, context-wise. And there's this spiritual language they get that they know. By the way, there's studies that say that the part of the brain that actually engages the language center of the brain that actually can be highlighted on a MRI. I think MRI is what they highlight the brain with. Whatever that big machine is where you can see brain activity. The center of the brain that connects to language is completely absent of any activity when people are speaking in their spiritual language. Anybody heard that before? I think it's so cool. Why? Because Paul will go on and give you the reason. Because your mind actually has nothing to do with it. It's your spirit. And so your mind does not have to engage when you're speaking your spiritual language. So they can do these you know, huge kind of medical exams and show, wow, that's weird. The mind, Peter, was it you that told me in an exam at OSU? Yeah. So Peter had this exam at OSU where that was one of the, you know, random questions on the what class was it? Biology. Some random question that was on that class. Anyways. So, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. I mean, it's just beautiful. He utters mysteries with his spirit. I mean, I want to utter mysteries with my spirit to God. I don't know about you, but I do. I want to utter mysteries with my spirit to God. No one understands the utter mysteries of his spirit, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does edify mean? It means to build up. It means to strengthen. Do you want your spirit strengthened? Speak in your spiritual language. I'm telling you right now. You want your spirit. What does that mean for your spirit to be strengthened? It means that the fruit of the Spirit, which isn't something you work up, it's something that you have by the Spirit, it'll increase in your life. I'm just telling you that it will. Joy, love, peace, patience, what does that come from? It comes from the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of our spirit. And it shouldn't be just because I'm working harder, I will love you more. It should be something that is so from the Spirit that people say, what is it about you that allows you to love in that way? It's just that I try so hard. No, it's because I have the Spirit of God living in me. Edifying your spirit allows the fruit of the Spirit to flow. And I'm just telling, I'm not just saying this from the Scripture, although that's enough. I'm just telling you, this is the first Christmas for me that I have not been depressed, right? Every Christmas, I get depressed. Not long, a couple days. But, I mean, a full-on just depression. Like, ugh, life stinks. You know, that kind of thing, right? And this is a couple days. Why? Because I'm a closet introvert, so I need lots of alone time. I get none of it for like 10 days. I'm doing a lot of things I just kind of don't totally buy into, right? I mean, I know a lot of you feel that way. It's all crazy amounts of gifts, and it's just crazy. It's, you know, so I'm trying to internal, like, not judge people, and all, you know, so I got all kinds of internal battles going on. I am not spending the time with the Lord that I need to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what ends up happening about 10 days in is I just feel whacked and all jacked. This year, I decided to do something different. I said, okay, things are still going to be pretty much the same. I'm less judgmental than I was last year, praise God. I'm less this, I'm letting, you know, several things, but there's going to be practical things that are still going to play out. So I said, what I can do, even when I'm washing the asparagus, is pray in my spiritual language. And my family doesn't get weirded out too much by it. So I'm just praying. So this, over the course, I mean, some of my family got a little weird. In fact, it was actually cool. We had a discussion because someone said, well, so what is this about the speaking in tongues? And so several of us in the kitchen just had a little conversation. It was actually really cool. But I just found myself, I didn't, not only did I not get depressed this year, I was walking in so much joy. I just had this joy. I'm telling you, listen, there was nothing different. I didn't do anything different other than I'm going to speak in my spiritual language a lot just to try to do what I think the Scripture really says clearly is edify my spirit. I'm just telling you it worked. Okay? Amen? Here we go. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That's Paul just saying it really clear. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Okay? He is encouraging us to speak in tongues. He is saying, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I am saying, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Why? Because it builds up your spirit. When Paul says to pray continually, without ceasing, I'm going to tell you what, that's a hard thing to do if you don't have a spiritual language. It just is. There's something that I long for, not as a sign of spirituality. Spiritual language means jack about your spirituality. It means jack about your, you know, it doesn't mean, that's so coming out of our own wounding if we think it's rooted in that. It has nothing to do with that. It's the same thing as fasting. I wish that all of you fasted. I just did a little fasting this week. It's beautiful. It doesn't do anything to God. God isn't extra happy with me this week. What it does is it does something in the human heart. It enlivens, awakens, cleanses, releases the human heart to have more capacity to and receive the free grace of God. Man, you need to hear that one again. I'm serious. People are so jacked up when it comes to fasting, and people are so jacked up when it comes to tongues. A lot of people. Another side note. What I've learned is people who have no faith, who've not really had a church background, have no issue with tongues. When they get saved, you're talking about baptisms of the Spirit. Okay. You're talking about tongues. Weird, but okay. Pray for them. I pray for them. Boom. They just get it. Boom. They get hit. They're praying in the Spirit. It's just part and parcel. Listen, this is the power of a stronghold. Someone who's grown up in a church that's either been void, hasn't talked about it, and kind of subtly been, ooh, that's weird, or flat out said it's not of God. People who have grown up in that, it is, you've got to do work. I'm telling you right now, you've got to work. Can I get an amen from anybody who's experienced that, who themselves have had to work out of that? I'm telling you, you're going to have to work out of the false teaching. It's false teaching that says the Holy Spirit ceases, the gifts cease. It's just flat out false. It is unbiblical and it is affront to the Holy Spirit. Jesus only said one time that something was unforgivable, and it was when people began to speak against the work of the Spirit. We've got to walk with fear and trepidation around this thing of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. If we get weirded out, I'm telling you what, take that before God. But you be careful. I mean, if people are being, you know, if people are doing things unbiblical, then deal with that. But if it's just because you feel uncomfortable with what the Spirit's doing, man, take that before God and, man, get that right. All right. I'm wrapping up here. Worship team, you guys can come on up. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. But listen, but I would rather that you have you prophesy. Why? He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Why? Because it's for Paul, it was all about building up the church. He loved the church. He died for the church. He laid his life down for the church. He was beat for the church. He loved the church. And not the church, the building, the people of God. Unless he interprets so that the church may... the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. He said, tongues is good because it edifies you. But tongues is not good in the church context of the church if you're going to be saying it from a microphone. That's the idea. Because it doesn't edify anybody. And he goes on and talks more about that. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you? None. Unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, he just uses an illustration there about instruments. Skipping ahead. Verse 8, again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? Just saying that you need to understand what's being released. Verse 9, so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, so he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. So his whole point isn't spiritual language is bad. In fact, at the very end of the whole chapter, just so he's clear, and he's clear that nobody's misunderstanding him, he says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. He just wants to make sure, because this is a weird gift. Make sure you don't forbid it. I mean, he says it point blank. So backing up again. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. When you're praying, I want to wrap with this. I desire that every one of you in this room would have a spiritual language. Because your spirit's edified. Because the gifts of the Spirit, so the fruit of the Spirit grows and strengthens because your spirit is edified. And the gifts of the Spirit, I'm telling you, I flow in a greater revelatory, I flow more revelatory-wise when I'm praying in my spiritual language more. I have more words of knowledge. I flow in the prophetic more. I just do. Why? Because my spirit is edified according to what Paul said. We have got to take this thing seriously. This thing of the Spirit and being a people of the Spirit and seeking to grow in the Spirit and seeking to see God release us and raise us up to be used out in the highways and byways and outside the four walls of this church. We've got to have spirits that are strong, that don't get overtaken. We're more of a thermostat than a thermometer, where we go into settings and we change the environment. I'm telling you, you're not changing the environment because you're cool. You got a great way to present something. You've changed the environment because the presence and power of God is on your life. Period. No other way to say it. The presence of God is in you and flowing out of you. That in your workplace, they see that there's a grace, there's a joy, there's a peace. It's not because you're like just manning up and gritting your teeth. It's because the Spirit is so strong within you. But not just because, well, I just got hit by God and so hopefully that lasts for a while. No, because you are building up your own spirit. That you're taking responsibility for the Spirit that has been deposited within you. It says that it's a guarantee, a deposit of the inheritance that is to come. It is something that God has deposited within you. It's something so valuable, and we take it so lightly. We take the Holy Spirit so lightly, ladies, gentlemen, brothers, sisters. We do not treasure and value and honor the Holy Spirit, and we wonder why He doesn't come around. Why He's in us to a degree, but we don't feel His presence, or we don't see His fruitfulness in our lives. Charles Finney, if he would go from more than three houses and not see the whole house get saved, would go out into the woods and fast and pray until he could feel the presence and power of God flowing in him again. Why? Because he knew that he could do nothing in his own strength. He knew that by his own power, nothing would happen. He knew that the only way that this world would be turned upside down for the good of God would be if he had the power of the Spirit. The early church and church through the generations has known this. You read through revival history, the church that understood the need and the necessity of the Holy Spirit is the church that changed the nation or the state or the city. It's only those kind of people that understand it. It's not the people who get all their doctrine in line. Doctrine is significant, but the Holy Spirit has to be empowering the doctrine. Amen. It's not about having your own kind of cool way. If the Holy Spirit isn't empowering your coolness, it means nothing. You could be the dorkiest, the weirdest, the lamest. But if you've got the power of God on your life, it doesn't make any difference. People will want to hear what you have to say. John the Baptist was the wackiest, craziest guy there was. He wrapped himself in clothes, ate locusts, and people from all over the surrounding areas came to listen to what he had to say. Why? Because the power of God was on his life. It's the same all through history. John Wesley said, set yourself on fire and people will come and watch you burn. Set yourself on fire because you're just emotional? No, because you have the Spirit of God flowing in you. And the Spirit of God flows in you because you begin in 1 Corinthians 14:1 says what? Earnestly desire it. Long for it. Even go so far as to say lust after it. The deepest longing. We lust after money. We lust after, you know, sex. We lust after all of this stuff that's so fleeting. The Holy Spirit's the one thing that doesn't flee. It's the greatest treasure in all the earth. It's the thing that the saints from old were longing for. And we are the people who now have it.
Amen.
We are those people. Let's not take it lightly. Let's not take it lightly. Let's not continue to struggle in our own sin and our own strength, but allow the Holy Spirit to come. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, we welcome your power into this place. We welcome the release of your power in this place. That you, Father, would begin to confirm your word right now. The Spirit of God's moving in this place. Right now. He's just, some of you are feeling fall on you. Just say more, Lord. Woo, come, Lord. We welcome your presence. Right now, I pray, right now, release. Some of you have been in habitual things that you've wanted to get out of. I pray right now, by the power of the Spirit within you would begin to break that stronghold. We ask right now, together, church, pray with me. Father, we ask that you would increase your power in this place to set the captives free. Men and women in this place who have been bound in sin for years would begin to find themselves stepping into freedom. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a release of power in this place right now. Just going to wait on the Lord. Some of you right now, there's a conviction that's starting. You can feel it, and it's almost like a, literally like a burning. But there's a conviction, and I want to call you right now. There's going to be a spirit of repentance that begins to fall on you. And I want you to respond. I want you just to come up here. You're feeling specifically convicted about an area in your life. And I want to say that the Spirit of God wants to release you, but it's got to start with repentance. It's got to start with repentance. And so if you feel that right now, I want to encourage you just to respond. It might be only be one of you, but there is at least one. I have a series of different things I'm going to share, so that's one. There's anybody here have bursitis that you're aware of? If you have bursitis, raise your hand. If you have bursitis... Okay. So one. Anybody else? Bursitis? Raise your hand. Okay. Put your hand on where the bursitis is. So that's a word of knowledge. I was just away and just, the Lord just said the word bursitis. Didn't even know what it was. Looked it up. Realized what it was. So right now, if you're next to that person, put your hand on them. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we say bursitis right now, be healed. Bursitis right now, be healed. Just keep your hand right on that place. Anybody feeling a warmth in that place where there's bursitis? Raise your hand if you have bursitis and you need someone to be laying hands on you. Back there. I'm sorry, I'll define it since most of you don't know what it is like I didn't. Bursitis is an inflammation typically in the shoulder, the knee, or the elbow. And it's like a sac that gets inflamed. I don't know what the sac is, but it's inflamed. So elbow, shoulder, and knee. So Lord, right now, just begin to release healing for bursitis. Anybody here with a skin disorder? Raise your hand if you have a skin disorder. So one, two, okay. Just open up your hands. Let the Lord just release healing. If you have a skin disorder, I just believe the Lord wants to start releasing healing on that. Father, release healing. Release your healing. Release your healing on bursitis. Any skin disorders in this place. Listen to me. The Lord wants to heal, but it's His will to heal. He desires to release His power. He desires to set people free. If you feel the Spirit of God moving on you, I want to so exhort you to not resist it. If you're a little afraid that it might get a little out of control, just let the Spirit of God move on you. Let everybody else deal with themselves. If God has an appointment with you and He wants to move on you, let Him move on you. Let Him move on you. Holy Spirit, would You increase in this place? Just increase in this place right now. Let the weight of Your presence, let the weight of Your Spirit. You have this record. Are you recording this? Okay. Megan, just while I was away, the Lord just gave a word to me for you. So I just want to share it with you. First is the Lord says that He notices you. He sees you, and He hasn't forgotten you. I also hear the Lord saying that hope is being restored. The places of longing that have gone unfulfilled for a very, very long time, He is going to begin filling those with Himself. You're going to begin stepping into a deeper and deeper place of intimacy with Him. The longing you have to grow and mature is something He sees, and He's going to answer it. I also hear the Father saying that if you aren't going to become like the person you're afraid of becoming. That very pattern is being broken in you, and it will be broken in your children after you. You also are going to begin singing more. You're going to let it go. When you have a song in your heart, you've got to begin singing it out with all your heart. And it's going to serve as a means of warfare, battling many of the strongholds that have been in your mind and heart. I see the strongholds breaking as you sing the songs of the Lord. As you sing these things, you're going to see them literally falling off. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, that You are releasing Megan. We bless that work. We bless that work. We bless that work of hope being restored, of fear being broken, and of a new song, of a new song. Let the new song arise in Megan's heart. I want to encourage you as we're just going to be flowing in and out of songs that we sing. If you have a child 5 and up, I want to ask you to go get them. We're really excited about having the kids a part of this ministry time. What we're going to be doing, we're going to be flowing in and out of worship and words, and just allow yourself just to enter in. If there's stuff that was coming up in the midst of the teaching, just encouragement or conviction, or let the Lord continue to take it deeper. If you're sensing the Lord moving on you, come up here. If you want to interact with God up here, we're just gonna worship and just flow for the next 25 minutes or so. So Holy Spirit, we give You reign of this time, of this space. We say, come, Holy Spirit, We say, you can have your way. You can do what you want to do. Release the spirit, the gift of tongues right now on people that want it. Just release it. Just release that. That spiritual language, just release it. Just release it. Release it. Release it. Release it. Release it. I pray all hindrances would be broken. All strongholds would be broken. All false teaching would be broken. That you just release it, Lord. Release that gift. Release that gift, Lord, on your sons and your daughters. Release it. And I pray, God, that the prophetic would begin to stir up in this body. That the prophetic would begin to stir up in this body. That we'd be a prophetic people that hear your voice, that respond to you. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up, Lord. Us to learn how to do is how to interact with the Lord in a really interactive way. That we don't tag out in any way, like whether it's some of us tag out in the teaching or some of us tag out in worship, where we kind of shut off, or that we would just seek to really stay engaged. We want to encourage you, just however, as we flow, as we, you know, there'll be ministry time at the end where we call a full call forward, so there'll be time for that, but just as we're worshiping and as there's words going, and just as much as you can, just seek to stay engaged. Don't move into spectating. Don't move into just kind of waiting and tapping your foot. Just as much as you can, just seek to commune with God. Some of us, at this point in our lives, we don't talk to God a whole lot. So start here. Let this be a place and a time, a safe, anointed place, to just talk to God. Talk to Him about your heart. Talk to Him about what's hurting. Talk to Him about what you're excited about. Talk to Him about what you're confused by. Let this be a time where you're just interacting with God. Singing the songs or not singing the songs. Opening your hands or having them down by your sides. Coming forward. Going back to your seat. Coming back again. I mean, just freedom in this place. Just to flow and do what you just kind of sense there's something to do. So Holy Spirit, just continue to breathe on us. Continue to move in this place. We want to encourage those of you who've been trained to pray, and you've been trained in the prophetic at some level. If you're feeling a stirring, go up to that person. Just ask for permission and then just pray blessing over them. Again, I want to ask only those that have been trained, because I just don't want to release just anybody. But if you're feeling a longing to go and pray for somebody, I want to encourage you, go do it. Let's break up these aisles. Let's break up these straight lines. Don't let yourself be caught in the middle of the crowd. Press through. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving on you to come forward and repent about something, do it. And then go back and sit and enter into the rest of worship. Just don't stay stuck. Holy Spirit, release us. Release us in Jesus' name. And there's something, I guess, and let's just stay, we'll just stay plugged in. As she shares, just expect that God is going to move in like manner. Because what's interesting is someone else was sharing and God had begun to move in her. So here's Leanna. Hold on real quick. It's green. Let's go back to Carlos.
So I started coming to this church about a year ago. And before that, I wasn't a believer. And I wasn't a believer when I started coming here. And just over the months, I was just very stoic. I would just hold my coffee, and I just watch and listen, and I would just sit there and secretly jealous of everyone worshiping around me, having such a great time and loving God. And I was just sitting there. And at this point, it was probably 8 months after I started coming here, I secretly started praying. I get home just by myself, and I would come here and I'd be more jealous of everyone's worshiping. And I was like, man, I had to evaluate it. And I said, if I'm praying at home and I'm really jealous that everyone else is worshiping and I'm not, then man, I believe. And if I believe, I want to be out there and I want to be spreading God's word and I want to be doing it publicly. And I don't want to be doing it in secret. I want to spread Jesus and I want to spread God. So I was sitting in the back one day, and Joshua was talking about healing, and people were giving some of their testimonies about their healings. And Joshua said, if you feel any like heat or anything on your body, then if you please just stand up, we can pray for you. And all of a sudden, my back started tingling. And sometimes I get this really bad, like, knot in my back from carrying trays at work, or if I'm really cold or stressed, and I just carry this knot. And it wasn't even hurting. I didn't even carry a tray the night before, and it just really started tingling, like a severe tingle. It didn't hurt, but it was just a presence. And I had one of those feelings. It was either you stand up now, or you never do. So I just like instantly stood up, and and people put their hands on me, and it was wonderful. And I could just feel God's presence. And at the end, Joshua said, if anyone received their healing, they should come up and get more prayer. And then at that point, I just start bawling my eyes out. I wasn't even sad. I just started crying and shaking. And I just proclaimed that. I just believe that God is wonderful. And Jesus is the Son of God. And He's our Savior. And He's here for us. And I just opened my heart that day. And I've never regretted. I've never felt happier or more confident or just more... I've never felt so loved before in my life, and I know that feeling's never going to go away. And it's just, and I just encourage anyone that doesn't believe that that God is there and He loves you, and then if you open your heart to Him, He's just going to flood you with so much love, and it's just going to be the best feeling, and you will never ever be disappointed with His unfailing love, and you will feel His presence forever. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Leanna.
Awesome. So I literally was standing over here, and Renee was praying for her, and she was like, you know, get over here, get over here. Because Leanna's part of my family by she's dating my cousin, that's the way you say it. And so I've, you know, seen her over the course of the past year and known her, but when I saw her that day, I literally knew before even walking over she had just gotten born again. Because her face had literally transformed. I mean, I've been seeing her face for a year now. I saw her face. I'm like, before she said it, I was like, she just got born again. So right now, let's just do a little experiment. Anybody feeling just the presence of God on their body in any abnormal way, beyond what's normal, like either a tingling sense or a sense of where's your tingling? Okay. So he just came up. He's got COPD. Culminary, a lung disease. So he's feeling, his lungs are black, and he's feeling a tingling in his lungs. So we're just going to bless that would continue, that whatever's starting there would continue and continue and continue. Anybody else feeling a tingling or a warmth on your body? Or anyone who has the bursitis, any difference? Do you feeling any? Has there been any change? I guess you got to test it out. Yeah, test it out. Not yet. Waiting. Anybody else with the bursitis who's feeling any? There's a couple people, I thought. Okay, so you felt tingling on your shoulder. And here's what we're doing. We are looking for any signs. And we rejoice at any signs. The mistake I've made for years, and I'm not going to make it anymore, is wanting the whole deal. And I mean, I love that. I'll take that. But needing it to be this, you know, boom, it all happens in one moment. What I want to start doing is rejoicing in the little graces, the little tastes, and then longing for more and longing for more. So anybody with bursitis notice any difference? No? Raise your hand if you notice any difference. No? Anybody noticing anything happening with your body that hurt before and hurts either not at all now or less? and it feels like it's decreased? Well, keep us informed of that. What I want to do is I want to create an atmosphere here that we carry outside of here, where we have an expectation that God wants to heal, that God wants to move, that God wants to flow.